welcome everybody again. It's so great to have you in church this weekend, and love the series that we're in. You saw in the intro video, we're in a summer series. It's 8 or 9 weeks long, entitled Dangerous Prayers, and this is week 3 of our series, and week 1 or 2, if you missed it, again, we're going to encourage you to do this every week, to go online to watch it, because one of the things we're doing is we're introducing and teaching on the dangerous prayer for that week, and then we're asking all of us across all of our campuses, those that are part of our River Valley Church family, to pray these prayers throughout the week, and just as an application. So we encourage you to do that. Week 1, Pastor Rob kicked off the series, and the focus was not my will, but yours be done. And it was from the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a great message and just spoke to our hearts. So we were praying that all week long. Then last weekend, the focus was, you know, we talked from the scripture, taught that you are, you know, the scripture, it says, God is the potter, we are the clay. And the prayer was, God, mold me, God, shape me. God, work on my inner character, work on who you want me to become, more Christ-like. And so we were praying that prayer, God, mold me, all week long. And so as we're in this series on prayer, I wanted to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to process it with me, because there's so many different directions you could go in a teaching series on prayer, and we're looking at dangerous prayers, about kind of getting out there, being more vulnerable and passionate in that. But I wanted to ask you this question just to kind of get us tracking with this series. What do you think are the two most common categories, if you will, of prayer requests that Christians pray? If you were to take up, you know, the prayer request and kind of put them into a category, what would you think are the two most common categories of prayer requests that Christians or church-going people, people that are calling out to God, what are those two prayers that are the most common? And they'll pop up on the screen, because here's what they are. They're provision and protection. Provision and protection. They're the most common by far, the prayers that kind of fall under the category of provision, that are, God bless me, God help me, God resource me, God open up the door for this job, provision prayers, and then protection prayers, right? God protect us, guide us, lead us, keep us safe. How many of us parents that have children know about protection prayers, right? Come on, my teenager got their license, God protect them, you know, all those kind of things that we pray, God, protection prayers. Global teams are going out. Lord, lead us as we do this and give us guidance and protection. So we love it. And so provision and protection, great prayers to pray. But I wanted to remind us, as we're 3 weeks into the series, the why behind the title Dangerous Prayers. What's the why behind it? Why are we talking about dangerous prayers and kind of going for it? Because although provision and protection, great prayers to pray, how many of us know and how many of us would agree, God wants to take us farther in our prayer lives, doesn't he? He wants to take us deeper in our prayer lives. So we should pray for provision and protection, but God's like, I want to stretch you. I want to take you deeper. I want to teach you new things. I want you to learn and grow in new areas. And that's really the heart of it. So this week leading up to the message, just getting ready for it, one of the things I was looking for, I went online and I was trying to find some information, just some data points that would kind of talk to us about frequency of prayer. How often, how frequent, what's the place of prominence that prayer plays in our lives on a daily basis. So I was looking at surveys from Christians and church-going people and stuff like that, and I found so much data, so much information out there. But I want to share just a few of them with you, and I picked out a few that kind of just are interest to me, that jump out. So follow these with me, just a few data points about prayer. 82% of adults and 89% of teenagers pray in a typical week. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? How many are thankful that our teenagers are praying to God? Isn't that good? Yeah, I mean, we're thankful for that. 88% of women, come on, men, and 75% of men pray in a typical week. I think women did that survey, but anyways, that's what it said. Yeah, true. You're going to love this one. People living in the Midwest pray more than those living in the West and the Northeast. Come on, how many knew we were more spiritual up here, right? Yeah. Don't clap, because we love everybody, right? But anyways, we're just more spiritual. No, but that's a few numbers. Track with these, a lot of numbers right here. The average person lives 77 years. That equates to 28,000 days, 670,000 hours. Wow. Or 40 million minutes. Of that time, the average person spends 24 minutes a day getting dressed. You've always wanted to know that. Well, there you go. There it is. The average person spends 40 minutes per day on the phone, doesn't count texting, all right? The average person spends 1 hour per day in the bathroom. I think that's overshare, but there you go. The average person spends 3 hours per day watching television or media. 3 hours per day. The average Christian spends between 3 to 7 minutes per day in prayer. So just to put it into perspective for me and for all of us this weekend of where's the prominence of prayer in our lives, not just dangerous prayers that we're looking at in the series, but prayer as a whole, and how many would agree that God wants to take us to stronger, deeper places, doesn't he? So he's not mad at, not angry, it's not that kind of thing. It's like, Christ follower, I have so much more for you in this area of prayer, so allow me to stretch you and teach you and use you in new ways. And as we look at all these different dangerous prayers over the next several weeks, it's just going to be such a great opportunity. So this weekend, the dangerous prayer, our focus is this prayer: God, lead me. God, lead me. God, please lead me. All the key areas of my life, God, I'm going to ask you to lead me. So Psalms chapter 25, we're going to look at a couple passages here, and then we'll jump to Psalms 73. It says, show me the right paths. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. And then Psalm 73 says, I still belong to you, God. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to, look at those last two words, to a what? To a glorious destiny. How many think that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? To a glorious destiny. And before we get into kind of what I would call the teaching or the challenge part of the message this weekend, I just wanted us to see those two words, glorious destiny, so that we have a healthy perspective on how God leads. And then we'll kind of bring it back at the end of the message as well. But so that we understand, as we kind of put ourselves out there and say, God, in the significant areas of our lives, we're going to ask you to lead us at a really strong level. But we know the heart of the God we're asking it of. And God's desire is that he wants to lead us to a glorious destiny, to an incredible place. So it's really important that we understand the leading of God isn't like a collar around our neck where he's pulling us. He's not whipping us from behind trying to make us do things. That's not the leadership heart of God, is it? I mean, so God's in charge. God's our leader. God's the authority of our lives if we are Christ followers, if we've committed to him. But he leads us from a place of incredible love, and the scripture says, to a glorious destiny. So I want to ask you this question, and we've done it across the campuses, everyone in all of our services. So I want to ask you this question. You don't have to raise your hand or respond, but I just want you to track with me on this question. How many would say you're going to fall into one or two categories, one of two categories? How many would say, you know what, I am an individual that really loves to be led by other people. I prefer to let other people make decisions for me. I want to be led. So you find yourself in that category. Or how many people are in this category? I prefer to lead. I prefer, you don't even have to raise your hand, remember? Some of you are like, right now, raising your hand. Okay, I wonder what category you're in. All right, but I love it because that's what I would do. All right, I prefer to lead, to make the call, to make decisions, to kind of have the direction of where I'm going. I just want to think, because I'm going to go out on a limb here this weekend, and I'm going to say I think a lot of us, the majority of us, prefer to lead. I think the majority of us prefer to make the call, make the direction, say, I'm going to make the decisions in our lives, and that would be our passion versus other people making decisions. I just think it's our nature for most of us. Somebody like, oh, Pastor Darren, that's your style. I think it's more than my style. I think a lot of us, it is kind of my style, but I think it's more than that. I think a lot of us have that kind of passion, I want to make the call. This jumped out to me just a few weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Jane and I were on vacation. We had 3 days, and we were in New York City visiting some family. We had never vacationed in New York City, never toured all the amazing sights of the city, hadn't been there. We had flown through New York. I've flown through probably 15 different times, but never spent any time there. And so I back up a little ways to tell you that in the early years of our marriage, when we would go to a new city like this, and we'd fly in, we'd never been there. My preference, and one of the things I loved to do when we were younger, in our younger married years, is I loved flying into a new city, renting a car, grabbing a map or a GPS or whatever, making the decisions, mapping it all out, figuring it all out, making the call, being in charge of where we're going. Is anybody else like that? I mean, I just loved it. And how many know that when you're making the decisions and you get lost, how many know you're never lost, right? You're kind of going a different direction, right? And if you've ever been in those moments and you're a married couple, have you ever argued maybe just a little bit, you know, and you're in those moments and disagreeing on who's in charge of this or whatever? But I think it happens to all of us. Fast forward to just a couple years ago, something began changing in my life. And just 3 or 4 weeks ago, when we were in New York City, it was like this, that we had a friend that lived, I have a pastor friend that's in the area, and he called me up and just said, you know what, hey, I'm off that day. I'd love to come over, pick you guys up at the airport, and show you around the city for the day. And something happened where a couple years ago, I started to love it when I had a guide that would take me places and show me and just point out all the different things to look at. And I didn't want to rent a car. I didn't want to pull out a map. I just wanted to follow their direction. And so he called, he offered that. I said, let me pray about it. The answer is yes, okay. And he came and picked us up and he showed us, you know, Central Park and Yankee Stadium and Harlem and Brooklyn and all that. He used to deliver, before he's a pastor, 6 years, he was a driver in New York City. So he knew everything. And it was just so, so amazing. And here's what I realized, because it kind of was a change in me. Here's what I realized. If the guide is trustworthy, I want him to lead me. If the guide is trustworthy, I want them to lead me. If I doubt whether they're trustworthy, I might not give up control, right? But I've learned that if the guide is trustworthy, I want him to lead me. And so even though our tendency is to say, I want to make the calls in my life, I think we have to decide as a church family, as we're in this series, even though it might be quick, oh yeah, I trust God, are we willing to say, I know my God is trustworthy. I know my God is always trustworthy. So that's why I want him to lead me in my life. So Exodus chapter 33, we're going to look at just some incredible scripture. And we're going to look at two places in the rest of this message, this incredible interaction between Moses and God. And I'm going to talk a lot about it. There's a lot of scripture, but I've kind of summarized it. I've shortened it as much as I can just so that we don't have to read too much. But if you grab a Bible, open it. If it's on your phone or your iPad, the scriptures will be on the screen. So let's focus. Let's kind of engage on this together. Exodus 33. One day, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me who you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember, Moses says, that this nation is your very own people, Lord. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people? If you don't go with us, how will anybody know? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people of the earth. It's just a powerful interaction that takes place. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But this week, God reminded me and kind of highlighted something again that I realized for River Valley Church, for this campus, really for all of our Minnesota campuses. How many know that we live in really nice communities, don't we? I mean, we do. If you don't think you live in a nice community, go on a global trip somewhere else and realize, wow, we are so blessed in so many ways, right? I mean, you go around the communities of the campuses of River Valley Church, and it's middle class and upper middle class and great community schools and parks and great opportunities. And there's people, for the most part, a lot of people doing really well, good season of life, good families. And we call it a quality of life. People describe where we live around our camp. They kind of describe, oh, there's a great quality of life in that area of the Twin Cities. So we're just blessed in so many ways. And here's something. Listen to this, because I got to go through it pretty quick. There's a human nature thing. It's not a good person, bad person. It's just part of being who we are in our human nature. I found the more success, the more blessing, the more greatness, the more good things we experience, the less we feel we need direction. Did you know that? It's just human nature. So the better things are for us, the more blessing we're experiencing, the more joy, the more success, the more health, the family's doing good, whatever, and we're experiencing a lot of good things. When that goes up in our lives, the less we feel we need direction from other people. And I wrote it down in my notes this way: pride naturally swells. It does. Our pride just naturally swells. We don't got to do anything. If we're in a really good place, our pride kind of just naturally begins to swell. And here's what I think. Even though that is true, and I'm susceptible, all of us are susceptible, as Christ followers, how many of you know, we got to fight against that, don't we? We got to fight against that pride swelling up. Because as Christians, we know this, that all the good things in our lives have either come directly from God or God has allowed it. Amen? I mean, is that true? That the good things in our lives either have come directly from God or God has allowed it. I mean, just think, in his sovereignty, he let us be born here and not in some poor village in India, right? I mean, God in his sovereignty has placed us and blessed us in so many ways. So we look at it and say, you know what? I love all the stuff I have, or I love the quality of life, but it's not because I'm so great, right? It's because God's so good. And so one of the things we got to do as people that live in great communities and yet want to fight kind of that pride swelling up, as I call it, the open hand versus the closed fist. And we look at it and we say, God, all this influence that you've given me, all these great opportunities you've given me, the good family and the great church and the nice community and all the different opportunities, God, I hold them in my hand because I steward them, but it's an open hand and you get to lead me in any of these things. Lead me in any of these things. Or the alternative is we close our fist. And even though God put them in our hand, we close it off and say, these things are too important. I'm not going to ask God to lead me in these things. But let's keep an open hand. Say, hey, God, you put all those great things in my life. So please lead me. Please speak to me. Please guide me. Please help me with that. I think it's so, so key. Moses highlighted a couple cool things that kind of speak to this in this passage, and I'll go through them pretty quick. But Moses I love it. He kind of had three interactions with God. First thing he said was this: hey, God, remember these people I'm leading? They all belong to you. They all belong to you. He's like, because he was the leader. He was the one leading them. But he's like, God, you are the owner. I am the steward. So even though I am your appointed leader and I am in charge of these people, I want you to know, God, they ultimately belong to you. And so all those great influential things in our lives, right? We're the steward. God's the owner. And then he says this. He makes a second comment. And I need to set it up this way so that we understand it. Moses, at this moment of his life, he was one of the most influential, if you will, successful Christian leaders of the Bible. Definitely of the Old Testament. I mean, at this moment, if I was to tell you, his leadership resume would be pages and pages long of incredible moments that he and God experienced. Put it in our terms, I mean, think most influential, successful CEO, owner, leader, person of influence, whatever. That's who's about to say this next comment. And here's what he says. Hey, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, if you don't lead me, I don't even want to go. I don't even want to go. It wasn't like, hey, God, I've done so well, I can go by myself. He's like, God, if you don't go with us, if you don't lead me, I don't want to go. I'm not going to rely on myself. I'm going to continue to say, God, I want you to lead me. And the last thing he said that just, it grabbed my heart this week, and again, we could do a whole message just on this thought, but it's verse 16. And lean in, look at it. We're going to put it up on the screen again and look at it together. It says this: for your presence among us, Moses says, it sets your people and me apart from all the other people of the earth. Did you see that? God says, or Moses says to God, hey, God, your presence in our lives, your leadership, your leading in our lives, it distinguishes us as your children. And it makes us different from everybody else that are not your followers. So it's not how we dress, it's not the words we say, it's that other people notice that God's leading and presence is in our lives. And Moses is like, I want that reputation. Do you want it? I mean, I do. He's like, I want that reputation. It sets us apart, God's presence, God's leadership in our lives. And I began asking myself the question, is that true in my life? Does God's presence and leadership set me apart? Do people notice? And I'm just like, wow, that is so amazing. How many of us would agree that being known as an individual by other people, they know you as an individual, oh, he or she, that person, I know they follow God. Oh, that person, I know they asked for God's direction. Oh, hey, that person, I know they asked for God's leading. I mean, how cool is it to be known without being weird? We're not weird or strange, but we're healthy and we're solid and people know us like, you know what? I don't know everything about that person, but I know God's presence, God's leadership is in that person's life. I just think that's so important. So what I want to do is I want to shift gears here. And I want us to give us some practical application of over the next week, as we pray this prayer this weekend to next weekend, God lead me, how do we make the most of it? Because here's what I think. I think across River Valley Church, I think for the most part, we're in. And if I was to say, hey, raise your hands right now, who's willing to pray, God lead me? I think all or most of us would raise our hands saying, I'm in. I'll do it. I want to take that next step, and I'm hungry for more of God. I really do believe that. So here's my question. What actions, what behaviors support this prayer? Simplify it. What shows God that we mean it? When we pray, God lead me, what all week long, and then hopefully beyond that, what shows God that we mean it? And I think there's two moments, and these will be up on the screen for us. I think there's a prayer declaration moment. There's a prayer declaration moment. If you want to grab something, grab this because it's super helpful. And you got it, because how many know you got to speak it out, right? You can't just think the prayer. You got to speak it out. There's a prayer declaration moment. So that looks like this. God, please lead me in, fill in the blank. In my marriage, in my job selection, in my career, in my future, how I handle my resources, and God, the different ministries I should be involved in, or God, the next steps for my life. God, please lead me in these really key areas, and we declare it. There's a second moment, and I call it the application, the action moment. There's an application, there's an action moment, and where we say, okay, God, I'm going to put some feet to this. And I'm going to ask you to lead me, so I'm going to do some things that show you that I want you to lead me. So I'm going to look to God's word. I'm going to do devotions. I'm going to seek godly counsel. I'm going to have a mentor. I'm going to, whatever it is, I'm going to be patient, listen to the leading of God, whatever it is. And there's some action that goes along with it. As those two things are up on the screen, there's a prayer moment, a declaration moment, and an action application moment. Let me just say it this way. Number one without number two, I think tells God we don't really mean it. Did you hear that? Number one without number two, I think says to God, we don't really mean it. Number two combined with number one says to God, I mean it. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. And I just think that's so, so helpful. And I want to give us a caution. It's kind of unique. I want to give us one caution that I felt like God laid on my heart this week that I needed to share with our church family this weekend in week three of our series here about this idea of God leading me and the phrase God leading me. And it's really a caution for those of us that have been in church a while or are been around Christianity for a while and we've got pretty comfortable with the church lingo and the things of God. But I want to set this caution up by giving you this example. How many are like me where you love GPS? I love GPS devices, all right? And I'm not directionally challenged either. I'm pretty good with north, south, east, west, but I figure why not get it right the first time, right? And so I love them. Google Maps, Apple Maps, you know, what GPS in your car or something like that. Most of us have used a GPS. Did you know that right now, last year, there were 68 million users of GPS? 68 million. You're like, I'm not using it. Maybe you should. But anyways, there's 68 million of us. And if you've ever done this, how many know you get in, let's say you get in your car, you're going to go to a destination, you plug your destination into the GPS, right? Garmin, your phone, whatever it is, you plug it in, and then you hit route, usually a route, but it kind of shows you the direction, and then after that you hit start, right? And after you hit start on that GPS device, what does it start doing? It starts talking to you, doesn't it? And how many think the GPS voice is kind of annoying? Anybody else? I feel that way. Let me ask you, because all of us have done this. You plug this in, you plug the direction in, and it says, hey, up, it'll tell you three blocks up, turn right on this street. And have you ever done this where you went up and you said, I'm not turning right, and you went right past it? Right? What does the GPS say in that super annoying voice? Recalculating, right? It's like punishment. I'm serious. Because that's what it does. And I really think it's kind of screaming out, you're doing it wrong, right? Because you're not following direction. So with this idea of God lead me and leading in direction, Christians who use God's leading me to validate something wrong or crazy they're doing are off base. And don't do that. Don't do it. Sometimes Christians can get pretty comfortable with their phrasing, and they've learned how to use phrases like God's leading me to do something that violates Scripture, violates God's standards. And can I tell you, if it violates Scripture and violates God's standard, He is not leading you to do it. He's not. And so let's avoid doing that, because when we do that and it's something that's off base or crazy or whatever it is, we really hurt the cause of Christ. I mean, young people look at it and just get really disenfranchised and disinterested. People that are looking into Christianity and exploring it are like, I don't know if I want anything to do with that. It just feels kind of off. So as we pray, God, lead me, I think it's super important that we embrace that and we be cautious with using the verbiage, I know God's leading me too. And just make sure that it lines up with God's truth. It's founded on the Word of God. Does that make sense? And so that's just kind of just one caution. So let's wrap this up, and just with some great scripture again, Moses' interaction with God here. Exodus chapter 3. And leading up, this is before the Red Sea and all this kind of stuff. Exodus chapter 3, the Lord told him, Moses, he says, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them, look at this church, from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt and into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Lead them out of Egypt and into their own fertile and spacious land. Just notice that. God said, Moses, I'm going to lead these people out of this place and into this place. Out of this place and into this place. Track with me on this. This week as we pray, just again, practical application, this dangerous prayer of Lord, lead me. As we pray it, I think it'd be really healthy for us to ask God, hey, God, what do you want to lead me out of? And what do you want to lead me into? Hey, God, what do you want to lead me out of? What do you want to lead me into? God, is there anything in my life, any activity going on right now where you're saying that needs to stop, you need to get out of that and move out? Anything you want to move me out of? But not just that, is there anything I need to take action on? You say, you want to move me into it. You want to help me to forgive. You want me to help to move forward, whatever it is. Is God, is there anything you want to move me out of? And God, is there anything you want to move me into? And before we wrap up and pray, I just want to give you one final reminder. As we pray this prayer all week long, God, lead me. And I phrase it this way because we're going to read the words of Moses, just one sentence, after he came across the Red Sea. If you don't even know the Bible very well, most of us have seen the movie, right? Where Moses brings all the Israelite nation, all God's people across the Red Sea, all the Egyptians died in the sea. It's one of the most amazing miracles recorded in Scripture. And if Moses was here with us this morning at River Valley, I really believe, and I don't mean this for theatrics, I really believe it. I think Moses would say, hey, church, I've seen a lot. I mean, hey, guys, I just came through the Red Sea because this is the moment we pick it up in. And he says, I just want to tell you one more time. I just want to remind you so that you'll never forget the way God leads his people, the heart with which God leads his people. And he says in Exodus 15, 13, look at it. He says, with your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. With your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. So how does God lead us? He leads us with his unfailing love. How does God stretch us? He takes us to new places. With his unfailing love is how he leads us. So just in a moment, we're going to put a prayer up on the screen, real simple, that we're going to be praying over the next 7 days. And we're never going to forget that as we pray this prayer, our tour guide is the most dependable guy in the world. Our God knows everything and loves us with an amazing love, and he's always going to lead us. Even though difficult times come, challenges come, he's going to lead us from a place of unfailing love that he has for each and every one of us. So here's what we're going to ask us to do all week long. We're going to ask everyone to pray this prayer. God, please lead me. I will follow. It's on the screen. Just, God, please lead me. I will follow. All of us to pray this prayer. God, please lead me. I will follow. So good. Let's pray together. Bow your heads, please. God, thank you for being. Thank you for being such an amazing God. Thank you for reminding us time and time again in Scripture of how you are Lord, you are God, you are in charge, and we are under your authority, and you're the leader of our lives. And yet, God, you keep reminding us, you also never want us to forget how much you love us, the plans you have for us, the places you want to take us. So, God, yeah, there's difficult moments, there's challenges. Lord, there's things you want to lead us out of, and we're going to pray that prayer this week. There's things you want out of our lives. There's practices, there's habits, there's things you say, stop that, stop doing it, and there's things you want to lead us to. There's direction you want to give us. There's next steps you want us to take. So, Lord, as we pray this dangerous prayer, this vulnerable prayer, this prayer that kind of puts us out there, we say, God, please lead us. I will follow. So, Lord, there's a prayer declaration moment. There's an application action moment. And our hearts are open. We trust you as our God who loves us with such an amazing love. And so, again, help us, guide us all week long as we pray, God, please lead us. I will follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Amen.